Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
This is Living Now. How many of you have started to live your dash this past week? You've been doing things differently than you were before as we've kicked off this new year. I certainly hope so. We're glad you're here this morning as we open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, or you can use your smartphone and turn to your Bible there. Also on YouVersion, our sermon notes are listed, and we encourage you to do that. And we want to welcome all of our first-time guests that are with us today. If you're here for the first time, maybe you feel a little out of place because you feel like, you know, I'm not that religious of a person. Well, I want you to know, if you hang out here long enough, you realize that we're not all that religious either. You say, well, Craig, what do you mean? This is a church. Yeah, but here's the thing. God's not about religion. We're not about religion. God is about a relationship. God wants to have a personal, real love relationship with every person. And our hope is that you will begin to encounter a relationship and grow in a relationship with Him. And we're really glad you're here with us today. Now, last week we started our series for the new year called Living in Your Dash. And we're talking about how to make the most of your life. We learned a few things. We learned that we must live in our dash, not just exist, not just trudge through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but to live with a purpose, to live with the realization that God has a destiny for us. At the same time, we're not to race through our dash so busy that we're not connecting with Christ. We're also to live in our dash. It is easy to look at someone else and say, well, you know what? If I had his finances or her talent, you know, if I had their background, their family, then I could really do something for God. God doesn't want us to fantasize and dream about what we don't have. He says, I've given you what you have. Live with what I have given you. And don't dream about what you used to be. Weren't those the good old days? Or what was life like, you know, when we lived back there in that town? We need to live in the here and now with what God has given us. And we also talked about how to make the most of our dash, because our dash is short and eternity is long, and everything we do here is just preparation for eternity, and we don't get a do-over. We don't get a second chance. We have one race, one dash to live. So that's just kind of a repeat of last week, and we're sorry that the message cut off about a halfway in, so it's not all on there, but we're hoping that God will just bless you as you live for your dash. And today, we're going to talk about the letter D. We have an acrostic up here, D-A-S-H. We're going to talk about how do we live in our dash, and the letter D stands for determination. Determination. Now, why is determination so important? I remember several years ago, there was a poster that was circulated around, and it was a stork swallowing a frog, but the frog has its hands clasped around tightly the stork's throat so that the stork cannot devour or swallow the frog. Friends, that's determination. That no matter how bad things are, you're not just going to give up. You're just not going to let life swallow you up. And we have to realize that we have an enemy. Peter the Apostle wrote in a letter, in his first letter to some believers, in chapter 5, verse 8, he says, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to devour us, and he tries to get life. He'll have situations and difficult times and things and circumstances that try to swallow us up, and God says, you can never, ever give up. You need determination in your dash if you're going to live your dash effectively for heaven. And so I want us to take a look at our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, because in Hebrews chapter 12, the author of Hebrews lists some reasons why determination is essential. The first reason, if you'd pull out your notes this morning, It's double-sided, and it's in your bulletin. The first reason you and I need determination in our dash is because it is a command. Determination is a command. We see in chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 1, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up." And here it is. "And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." God is, do you realize, He set a race before you. He has set your dash before you, and God's commanding you and I, run with endurance. Don't quit. Don't give up. We need to be determined to endure everything. That word endurance, in the Thayer's Greek lexicon, it defines endurance this way. It's the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. We have that definition in your notes there because we need to remember that we should not swerve from the purpose that God has for us. And we should not swerve from loyalty to God. Loyalty to having faith in Him at all times. Loyalty to piety, to doing the right thing, to living the way God wants. Loyalty and love go hand in hand. Because if I love my wife, I'm going to be loyal to her. And we see Jesus saying this. Matthew, one of the disciples, recorded a conversation Jesus had with a gentleman, and Jesus said, "This is the first commandment. This is the greatest commandment." And Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with 25% of your heart." What does it say? All. You see, that's loyalty. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. Friends, that's loyalty. And we need this endurance that no matter what happens, we're going to pursue our purpose and be loyally loving God at all times. Determination is a command. Let's run our dash. Let's run our race with endurance. We need to determine that no matter what happens, we're going to pursue Christ. There's a second reason determination is essential in our dash. Take a look at your notes. Determination overcomes the distractions in our dash. Determination overcomes distractions in our dash. In Hebrews 12, there are three distractions that it lists. And we find the first one in verse 1. It says, "Since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down." The first distraction there in your notes is weights. And what is a weight? A weight is anything that slows you down. Anything that deters your spiritual progress, your spiritual growth. Anything that causes you not to get closer to Jesus, but maybe cools your love and your passion for Him, that's what a weight is. Now, I need an example, and I need a grandfather and a grandson. Oh, I got two volunteers right here. Travis and Neil, come on down right here. We're going to have a race today between grandfather and grandson, okay? This is the race. I want you to stand behind this side of the stage right here and face over here. And I want you to run. We're going to move the mic stand so no one trips and biffs it. Yeah, I know. Okay, get out here because you need a clear shot. I want you to run past this edge of the stage. The first person past wins. You ready? On your marks. Get set. Go. We all know who is going to win that. Okay, go back. We got it. We're going to do this again. But this time, we've got a way, have one of our runners have some weights here. Okay. Here's another one. You ready? Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. You ready? I want to see how you're going to do this one. You got it? You better spur out. You're going to kill your grandpa here. All right. Okay, you got to carry this too. How are you going to do that, huh? You ready? Okay. You got to carry that. Got to carry it all at once. All right. On your marks, get set, go. Oh, it's a tie. All right. So you can set that down. We'll just go ahead and scoot that to the back there. We're going to have one more race. Travis, you need to go up on the stage and get the grand piano. No, give him a hand. He can be seated this morning. What happens when you carry weights? It slows you down. It slows you down. You've got an advantage when you don't, but when you start carrying weights, the competition can catch you. And we need to let go of the weights. And here's the thing, what is a weight? I'll tell you what a weight is not. It's not a sin, because sins are listed separately. Weights can be several different things. I know some people, they're weighed down by anxiety, weighed down by fear, weighed down by the concerns and the cares of life. There are some people, they're weighed down by busyness. They've got so much on their calendar, so much on their mind. They're weighed down with the busyness they have in their lives. Sometimes a weight may be a person. Maybe as someone you're dating. It may be the friends you're hanging around. And they might be even good people, not really evil, but they're just a weight, they're slowing you down, they're dragging you down, and they're keeping you from really following God. I told my kids when they went off to a Christian college, not everyone at the college loves God. Not everyone is going after Jesus. Some of them are weights, so be careful who you choose as your friends when you go there. A weight can be many different good things. I have known pastors and lay people that have gotten so caught up in ministry that when it comes to the dash of family, it's left behind, and it's a weight, their ministry, because they're trying to do too much. Weights can be hobbies, the things you love to do. It can be playing Candy Crush too much on your phone, watching television too much, being too much into fitness, or tracking the stock market. You're consumed with it. Anything that takes your primary focus off Jesus and the call and the purpose he has on your life is a weight. And we need to strip ourselves of weights. Get rid of them, so that we can run the dash, we can run the race that God has in store for us. You say, how do I know if it's a weight? It's what we did earlier in the service. You got to get alone quietly with God and say, Lord, reveal to me if there's any weights in my life. And you know what? When you do that, God's going to lay something on your mind. The internet, TV, this person. And you're going to, the first reaction you're going to have is, no, I didn't hear from God. God, what's the real weight? When you're quiet before God and God says something to you, obey it. So many times we like our weights. They feel good to us. We don't realize how heavy they are and how they're weighing us down. But they are weights. So when God says, this is a weight, this is slowing you down, this is keeping you from really fulfilling the call, the destiny I have in your life, give it up. Give it up, and you'll be effective in your dash. Weights are the first distraction, and you need a determination today. I don't care what God speaks to me this week as I'm quiet and I listen to him. I'm going to give it up. That's a determination you need to live in your dash. What's the second distraction that we need determination? It is our sins. our sins. Take a look again at verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let's strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Our sins, the devil tries to entice us with sin, tries to make it look so good, so inviting. Up on the screen, we have a picture of a target. The word in the original language the Bible's written in for sin means to miss the mark. It's an archery target. And it means that you don't hit the target. And here's the thing, God's target for our lives is to be perfect like him. Matthew, the disciple, wrote, he says, be holy for he is holy. And so we need to be holy like God, and God's perfection. You realize every time we do something wrong, every sin, every wrong thought, every wrong action and attitude is an arrow missing the target. How many arrows do we have of our sin that have missed the target? Several hundred. And the great thing is that when Jesus died on the cross, he pulled all of the arrows out. But there are still times as a Christian when we still sin. We still mess up and we still do things. And sometimes we coddle our sin. We hold on to our sin. We cannot play with our sin. We need to be people that are reading God's word. I can't stress how important God's word is because the Apostle Paul said, when you read the word, it washes you. The washing of the water of the word of God cleanses you. When you read the word, it convicts you of things you're doing wrong that you need to stop, and it convicts you of right things that you're not doing. And as we read the word, God pinpoints different areas in our life. This is where you're sinning. Sins of omission, the good you're not doing. Sins of commission, the bad that you are doing. And God will speak to us. Jesus overcame the devil by the word of God. He had it memorized. And when a temptation came, Jesus took a scripture that applied to the temptation and he quoted it. And it was the word of God that helped him to defeat the sin in his life. But there's got to be this determination, sometimes a determination, I'm going to memorize scripture for those struggles, those areas that I know I'm really susceptible to in temptation. I'm going to have a determination that no matter what happens, I am not going to sin. I'm going to obey the word of God. I need a determination to not go to places that tempt me easily or to hang out with people that tempt me easily. I need a determination to strip off the sin in my life. Is there anything in your life that you know is wrong and you have been struggling with giving it up? You haven't wanted to do it. Maybe it's immorality. Whether you're married or not married, you're not following God's plan for sex. Maybe it's in the area of honesty. You're being dishonest, you're lying, you're stealing, you're being deceptive. Maybe it's something with jealousy or with greed. Maybe it's with bitterness. There's a lot of different sins, and that's why it's so important for us to read the Bible, because as we read the Bible, God will convict us of our sin, and he'll convict us of the right things that we need to be doing. Playing with sin is deadly. On June 10th of the year 2011, Corey Burn, a 34-year-old man, was strangled to death by his pet boa constrictor. He was showing it off to a friend in his suburban home in Omaha, Nebraska, and the snake wrapped itself around his neck and strangled him. The police and paramedics came 9 hours after they pried the snake off his neck. Corey died in an Omaha hospital. When we play with sin, it's like we're letting it wrap itself around our neck, and it's only a matter of time until it kills us. You see, weights slow us down, but sin will kill you. You play around with it long enough, and it's going to lead you away from faith in Christ. It's going to harden your conscience, and you're going to just say, I don't need this Jesus thing. And so if there is sin in your life that God is pinpointing, you need to give it up, okay? There's a third distraction that's in our dash that we need determination for, and that is the pain of God's discipline. The pain of God's discipline. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 5. Chapter 12, verse 5. It says, "Have you forgotten the encouraging words spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up.'" You could say, "Be determined. Be determined when he corrects you." Now look at this. If you're a Christ follower, there's a guarantee of discipline. It doesn't say if he disciplines you, if he corrects you. It says when he corrects you. How many of you like correction? How many of you like to be disciplined as a kid? Ouch. You know, that hurt. There is pain when we're disciplined. And God disciplines us. It goes on to say, "For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one as he accepts his child. As you endure this discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means you are illegitimate and you're not really children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they know how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening." How many would say amen to that? It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Friends, God is going to discipline us. He's going to allow us to go through suffering. He's going to allow pain to be inflicted. The question is, how do you see the pain of discipline? Do you see it as God punishing you? He doesn't love you anymore. He doesn't care about you. And you abandon the faith? I've known people, that's how they've responded to the discipline of God. Or do you see it that he cares about me and he knows this is trying to get negative behavior out of my life so that I can have a better marriage, a better family, a better testimony, I can be a better kingdom Christian? Here's the thing. There is a difference between punishment and discipline. Punishment is when you do something wrong, and the person giving the punishment, giving the pain, they want to hurt you. They're trying to take revenge. "I want you to pay for what you've done to me." That's punishment. Discipline, on the other hand, says, "I'm concerned about you, and I know if you continue in this, it's going to hurt you. And this pain is to show you that there's negative consequences associated with your actions, with your attitudes." Discipline is about helping. Punishment is about hurting. Discipline is about how to make you better. Punishment is about how to take revenge, how to make you pay for it. And when God allows pain to come into our life, he's doing it to make us better. And we need to realize that becoming a Christian doesn't mean everything is perfect. Everything is roses. But there are thorns on the roses. How many know that? There are thorns in that rose garden. And so God will allow things to come into our lives that will seem bad, seem negative, but it's discipline to make us better. And we need a determination when that discipline comes, I won't quit and I won't give up. Take a look at the bottom of your notes on page one there. It says, God is for us, not against us. We need determination to accept his sovereignty and to go through discipline and suffering. When bad things happen, we need to realize, God, you're sovereign. I don't understand it, but I am going to accept the pain of discipline. I'm going to accept the pain of suffering, and I will keep pursuing you with the same passion I had as before the suffering and the pain. We need to have determination to go through pain and suffering. There is a third reason that determination is essential to living our dash. In your notes this morning, Jesus modeled that determination is the only way to win your dash. Determination is the only way to win your dash. Take a look at the last part of verse 1. We're going to read through verse 4. Let us run with determination, or let us run with endurance, the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. That was his example. Jesus endured pain and suffering, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not given your lives in your struggle against sin. Do you realize how intensely Jesus suffered on the cross? He said, I could have called 12 legions of angels. A legion was about 6,000. So he could have called 72,000 angels as he's hanging on the cross, and he could have been delivered. 12 legions, one for every disciple to protect every disciple. He said, I could have called all these angels and gone off the cross, but I didn't. I endured the suffering. I went through so much pain, so much torture, so much agony for you. And when he went through it, today he is seated on the throne. The Babylonians come back several years later and they take over Judah, but something else happens. He has a son. His name is Manasseh. Manasseh grew up to be the most evil king the nation of Judah ever had. And I think one of the reasons for that is because he grew up under the pride of his father. Instead of a dad who was modeling humility and fear of God and dependence on God, he saw a father who was, man, look what I've done. Look how great I am. Hezekiah, when you become successful, you need determination. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to rely on God. I'm not going to just rely on me and my victories and what I've done. Give the glory to God. We need that determination when we're successful. Number four, we need determination when we go through difficult times. The Apostle Paul is the example of this. In the book of Philippians, he talks about, I'm in chains, I'm in prison. So how many would say being in prison is kind of a difficult time? Paul's trying to plant churches. He's trying to do the work of the kingdom. And yet he's in prison. And yet this is what he says in chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was determined to keep pursuing God despite the fact he's in prison. And you can see countless examples in Scripture of people that went through difficult times, but they endured, they were determined to go through them, not to become bitter, but to become better, and they were successful. The fourth time we need determination in our lives is when God delays. When God delays. And the example is Job. You read the whole book of Job. In Job chapter 1, Job goes through a difficult time. But then he goes for about 37 chapters of not hearing God. And this is a period of several days, of a few weeks. And Job is crying out to God, and God is silent. He says nothing. And he says, man, everywhere I look, I don't see God around me. And there's going to be times in your life when God doesn't make sense. You don't understand why he's letting this happen. And you're going to want to quit. But Job had the determination. He said, even if he kills me, if God slays me, I'm going to follow him. That's the determination each of us needs. As we wrap this up this morning, there's a great lesson about determination from the children's story, The Tortoise and the Hare. Did you know you could get theology out of The Tortoise and the Hare? You're at the starting line. You've got the tortoise, you've got the hare. The gun goes off, and like a muscle car out of Fast and Furious, the hare takes off. And he's down the road, leaving a trail of dust. What's the tortoise do? Step, 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 step. Can you imagine the scene of the race? Just give it up.
quit. You've got no chance.
But the tortoise is not looking at how bad the odds are against him. He's not looking at the jeers and sneers of the crowds. He's not listening to the negative. He's not looking at the physical or at the positive or negative elements going on in his physical environment. He says, I'm just going to keep moving one step at a time. I am determined to live my dash, to run my race that's set before me. The hare, on the other hand, has a great start. But when he sees the lead, it's like, you know what? I can take it easy. I've got this. And so he takes a nap. He wasn't determined to finish the race. And as a result, he lost. And friends, you and I need a determination today that no matter how bad life looks, you are going to live your dash. You're going to run the race that he has set before you. That nothing is going to cause you to give up. Even if you're feeling you're being swallowed by a stork, you're going to grab onto the neck and say, I will never, never, ever give up. You say, how do I do that? Some of you say, Craig, I'm at the end of my rope. I feel I can't go on. We're told in Hebrews, look again at verse 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. How do we do this? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Friends, we need to look to Jesus. Some of you, you're tired, you're discouraged, you're worn out, and you need to look to Jesus for hope and for patience to endure. Some of you this morning, you are in a time of delay. God is quiet. He's not speaking to you. And you need to be determined to look to Jesus and say, I'm going to trust your sovereignty. Even though I don't see anything happening in my life, I am going to trust you. Some of you today, you're defeated. You feel like a failure. Your past has messed you up, and you've quit running, or maybe you're just coasting, and you need to look to Jesus for forgiveness and mercy and strength to get back up and start just putting one foot in front of the other. Don't look at the odds. Don't listen at what other people say about you, but just press on and go through. Some of you are in a difficult time. Friends, look to Jesus for strength. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. As you look at your dash this morning, how many of you would say, Craig, I need determination in some area of my life to go after God? Just lift your hand high. There are several of you. We're going to sing a final song, and as we do this morning, I want you just to begin to pour out your heart to God, whatever it is you need determination in. You feel like a defeat, you begin to say that to God. And friends, if you want to shout to God or cry or whisper, whatever it is, I want you to begin to do that. I want you to begin to just to pour out your heart to God. Say, God, I need your help here. God, please be with me. And then at some point in the song, I want you to turn from this crying out to a place of beginning to praise God, realizing that Jesus endured the cross for you. He gave up everything. He's your example. If he went through it, you can go through it because he's with you. You're not alone. And to begin to praise him that he's with you, that his presence is there, that he hasn't failed you, that he's giving you the strength, he's giving you everything you need to live your dash with determination.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly. where relationships matter most.